Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines. And before we get started with this episode, I want to let you know about something that Old Time Radio Westerns is doing. We currently broadcast live every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Old Time Radio Westerns that you can actually listen to nonstop. The best part about it is you can actually request tracks. That's right, tracks. When I say tracks, it's episodes from different shows. We've got over 1,000 different episodes. I want you to come check it out, otrwesterns.com/live, or just go to otrwesterns.com and look on the right hand side. There's a request link. Click that and boom, you can start requesting tracks. Listen while you're working, whatever you're doing. It's beautiful. Again, otrwesterns.com and look for the live link. Let's get into today's episode. It's going to be Challenge of the Yukon, and I hope you enjoy.
Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present the Challenge of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog Yukon King, as they meet the Challenge of the Yukon. Here's the breakfast that brings cheers from coast to coast. The breakfast that wins praise from many a He-Man Hollywood movie star, too. It's swell-tasting Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat with milk or cream and fruit. These king-size, ready-to-serve premium grains of rice or wheat are shot from guns. Yes, actually exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them crisp and tender as nuts in November. Tomorrow, sure, try this thrifty deluxe breakfast treat. You'll cheer, too, for Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Sergeant Preston and King were walking down Front Street in Dawson one snowy winter night when they heard a girl's voice calling to them.
Sergeant, wait for me.
Son Waring, King.
Anne was the favorite singer at the Monte Carlo. She was young and pretty, but as she ran toward the sergeant, her face was a mask of terror.
Sergeant! Somebody's killed him. He's dead. I know it.
What are you talking about, Anne?
Dave Corden. He's
well,
dead.
Now,
I know.
Try to control yourself.
Well, how can I after what's happened?
I'll try to tell him what's happened.
All right. Dave hasn't been feeling well, and... Come with me. I'll tell you as we walk.
Where?
To Dave's cabin, near the Klondike end of 4th Street.
All right, let's go. Come on, King.
Dave hadn't been well. He was supposed to meet me at the Monte Carlo at 10 o'clock. When he hadn't shown up by 11, I decided to take a walk to his cabin and see if he were really ill. He wasn't there.
That's nothing to be worried about.
Isn't it, though? Wait until you see.
See what?
There's a stain on the floor. Sergeant, it's a blood stain.
We'll investigate.
The sergeant, the girl, and King hurried through the storm. The back streets of Dawson were dark, but when they reached 4th and turned right toward the Klondike River, they could see a light shining from one of the cabins.
That's it.
Did you find the lamp lit when you reached the cabin?
No, I lit it.
Did you see any tracks leading to the cabin?
No.
Or away from it?
No, it was only a few minutes ago, Sergeant. Why, look. The snow's covered up my own tracks already.
Door was unlocked?
Yes. You'll see. Something awful must have happened.
Here we are.
The light from the lamp on the table fell directly on the red stain. King ran toward it.
There. That's blood, Sergeant.
King seems to agree with you.
What have they done to him?
Sit down, Anne, please.
Oh, how can I? We've got to go after him. We've got to find
him. Sit down here.
But, Sergeant,
if you want me to help you, you must help me. Now answer my question.
I'll try.
Good. Now, it's true there's a blood stain on the floor, but it isn't very large. Dave may simply have cut himself, and right now be at Doc Munson's getting a finger bandaged.
Do you really think so? Let's go and find out.
Now, wait. What I want to know is why you jumped to the conclusion that he'd been murdered.
I don't know. I was so upset when I saw...
There must have been some reason. Does Dave have any enemies?
Well, he owns Bonanza 47. He's a rich man now. There are a lot of people who like to have his claim.
But you can't acquire a man's claim by killing him. Answer me, Anne. Does he have any enemies? Is there anyone who'd like to see Dave Cortland dead?
Yes.
Who?
That stranger who was talking to Steve last night in the Monte Carlo.
Stranger?
Well, he's new to Dawson. I found out afterwards his name was Frank Mason. He was standing at the bar. It was just after Dave had left. He watched Dave as he walked out, and then he leaned across to Steve.
Hey, who's that fella that just walked out?
His name's Dave Cortland.
Yeah? Wasn't when I knew him in Frisco. Called himself Don Corby then.
You sure you got the right man?
He hasn't changed much. He ought to be in jail.
I think you've made a mistake. Dave's all right. Everybody likes him.
Oh, he's easy to like, all right, for those who don't know him.
But we do know him. When he made his big strike, there wasn't a man in Dawson who wasn't glad of it.
A big strike, huh?
He owns Bonanza 47.
Which proves there's no justice.
Just a minute. I don't like the way you're talking about Dave.
What's that?
You heard me.
Well, lady, I wasn't talking to you.
I don't care. Dave and I are going to be married, and whatever you say about him concerns me, too.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Just what are you insinuating?
Nothing. It wouldn't do me any good. You wouldn't pay attention.
I certainly wouldn't.
That's too bad. You look to be pretty regular.
You said that he ought to be in jail.
Personally, I'd like to see him dead.
Why?
That's my business.
Well, you can't just say something like that and leave it there. Why? What right have you to talk that way?
Just ask him if he remembers Flora Mason. I'm sorry for you, sister. Good night.
Walked out of the place. I asked Dave about Flora Mason the next morning, and he'd never even heard the name. Obviously, this Frank Mason made a mistake. Thought Dave was someone else, but he said that he'd like to see him dead. Steve can vouch for that.
I'll have a talk with Mason. Does Dave have other enemies?
It was what Mason said that upset me.
No one else who dislikes him?
Not really.
Which means there is.
No. Rex and he aren't friends anymore, but... Oh, it isn't the same thing.
Rex Taylor?
Yes, that's all my fault. I thought I liked Rex until I met Dave, but Rex wouldn't do anything to hurt Dave because he wouldn't do anything to hurt me. I'm sure of that.
Anne, I'm going to take you home.
But I'm due back at the Monte Carlo.
You're in no condition to sing tonight. I'll take you home.
Well, then what? What are you going to do?
Going to try and find Dave.
Oh, can't I help? Can't I go with you?
No, but I'll let you know as soon as I locate him.
You talk as if he was still alive.
Why not? Just one thing more. Those mittens on the table there, do they belong to him?
Yes, I knitted them. He used to wear them all the time.
I'll take them. Here, King. Here's a clue for you. Smell them, boy. That's right. Now, we want to find this man, King.
Sergeant, all this snow. He can't follow a trail tonight, can he?
He'll follow it if he ever picks it up. Come on, let's go.
It took the sergeant 2 hours to make sure that Dave Cortland was not in Dawson. There was no one who had seen him after 6 o'clock that evening. No one who had seen him leave the town. The sergeant found both Rex Taylor and Frank Mason at the Monte Carlo, and he questioned them one after the other in the back room of the cafe. Rex was first.
Rex, how long have you known Dave?
For several years. We came up here together.
From San Francisco?
From Portland.
You were partners?
Until last year.
It's because of Anne that you split up?
Well, no. Neither of us met her until after that. There wasn't any particular reason for our split up. If Dave Cortland is dead, Sergeant, I didn't kill him. I'd admit that if he were out of the way, I might stand a chance with Anne. I'd like to marry her, but... Well...
Well, what?
Dave and I were friends once, good friends. You can't forget that.
I'm not accusing you of anything, Rex. That's all for now. Ask Mason to step in here, please.
Sure thing.
Your turn, Mason.
Frank Mason was smiling as he closed the door behind him.
So talking too much has got me into trouble, eh, Sergeant?
That remains to be seen. You believe that Dave Cortland is really a man named Don Corby?
I don't know what his real name is. He's the same man who called himself Don Corby.
When did you know him?
5 years ago in San Francisco. He was engaged to my sister Flora.
Last night you said you'd like to see him dead.
And I won't take that back, even if he is dead.
Why not? What did he do to make you hate him?
It was the way that he treated Flora. They were engaged. She trusted him. She gave him all her money to invest. He did a fine job. He lost every penny of it. At least he said he did.
You think he stole her money?
Yes, I do. And even if he didn't, he deserted her afterwards. Jilted her. Just disappeared. It's only natural for me to feel the way that I do.
It isn't natural to contemplate a murder.
I didn't.
You were seen on 4th Street at 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, whatever.
You were seen walking toward Cortland's cabin.
Well, I went there. I admit it.
You went inside?
No, sir. I just looked in the window.
Why'd you do that?
Well, the reason I went there, I was going to tell him what I thought of him. I changed my mind.
Why?
Because if I told him that Flora was dead and he'd laughed, maybe I would have killed him. But I didn't, Sergeant, and you can't accuse me of it.
I'm not accusing anyone. I have no evidence that Cortland's dead. Not yet. But I'm warning you not to leave Dawson.
I won't.
You're living at the Palace Hotel.
Yes, sir.
That'll be all for tonight.
Okay.
Well, I haven't learned much, King. Perhaps there's nothing to learn. Dave had a dog team, and it's gone. You may have driven up to the Bonanza without saying anything to anyone. I'll have to go up there and find out. But he told Anne he'd meet her at the Monte Carlo tonight. And then there's that bloodstain on the floor. We're going back to the cabin and check it once more before we start for the Bonanza. Come along, fellow.
The sergeant went from the Monte Carlo to headquarters. There he left word of his intention to drive out to the Bonanza. And a few minutes later, King was leading the sergeant's team through the deserted streets of the sleeping town. When they reached the cabin on 4th Street, the sergeant called out an order to halt.
Hold, King. How are you, Husky? On, King. I'll light the lamp.
Methodically, the sergeant went over every inch of the cabin. He found a locked strong box underneath the cot.
It's heavy, King. Probably full of dust. The lock hasn't been tampered with at all. There's been no robbery committed here. We'll keep on looking, though.
But there was no evidence of violence in the cabin with the exception of the bloodstain on the floor. When the sergeant had finished his examination, he stood near the table. Absent-mindedly, he took out the pair of mittens Anne had knit for Dave. King growled.
You don't forget, do you, King? What? Why were the dogs? Sounds like another team heading this way. Yes, and stopping out in front. Dave Cortland!
Why are you here, Sergeant?
You make me feel a little foolish, but greatly relieved.
Is anything wrong?
Evidently not. Anne Waring brought me here earlier tonight. You were gone, and there was a bloodstain on the floor. She was afraid something had happened to you.
No. Nothing's happened to me. But I'm glad you're here, Sergeant. I want to confess. Tonight I murdered my twin brother.
As Cortland spoke, Sergeant Preston looked at the man as though he could hardly believe the startling confession. We'll continue our story in just a moment.
Shot from guns. These three famous words mean a breakfast treat all ready to eat. The original, the one and only Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. Yes, these are giant-sized grains. I said giant-sized. And they actually are shot from guns to make them crisp and tender. Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat are exploded up, up, up to 8 times normal size. That makes them bigger and better tasting. They're a thrifty deluxe family breakfast treat that's easy to fix as falling off a log. Just pour out a bowlful, add some fruit and milk or cream. Talk about good! More important, long hours at school and play call for a hearty breakfast. And Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice furnish added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So how about it? You'll be getting off to a flying start when you eat Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. And to get the original crisp, fresh wheat or rice shot from guns, always buy the big red and blue package with the smiling Quaker man on the front. Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice are never sold in bags or bulk. Now to continue our story. After he had made his startling announcement that he had murdered his brother, Cortland sank into a chair and buried his head in his hands.
Do you know what you're saying, man?
Yes. Just give me a few minutes and I'll tell you all about it.
Your twin brother?
Yes. His name was Don. Hadn't seen him for years until tonight. Just got into Dawson.
And you killed him?
It was self-defense, believe me.
I'm going to warn you that anything you say may be used against you.
I'm going to tell the whole truth.
What have you done with the body?
I should come to you right away. I know that. But when I saw what I'd done, I was afraid. I carried him outside and put him on my sled. I harnessed the team and took him up to my claim on the Bonanza. He's buried there.
Buried?
Yes.
You burnt out the ground?
Covered him with rocks and snow. I'll show you.
You'd better do that right away, Cortland.
I'm ready. Anytime you are.
Let's go.
Now to continue our story. Sergeant Preston, with King at his side, went down the main street toward the Northwest Mounted Police headquarters. As he was about to go in, a man stepped from the shadows.
Sergeant Preston?
Yes, I'm Sergeant Preston.
I've been waiting here for you. I recognized you because of the dog. I'm Jim Belden.
Jim Belden? I trailed you from Whitehorse.
I thought you would, sir. I want to talk to you about what happened, if you'll listen.
You mean you want to give yourself up?
It isn't that. I didn't kill anyone. Wells was already dead when I went to his room.
Then why'd you run away?
I came here to find someone. Someone I thought would clear me,
but why'd you go to Wells' room at the hotel?
To warn him. And to prevent him from being murdered.
I see. Who did you expect was going to try to kill Wells?
I'd rather not tell you that, sir. I want to find him and get him to tell you the whole story. I know he'll clear me.
But you won't have a chance to find him now, Belden. I'll have to take you into custody.
No, please, give me a chance. I won't try to get away. I swear I won't.
Tell me, Jim. Who else, besides Mamie Grant, knew you went on that so-called business trip to Whitehorse?
No one. That is only the person I want to find.
In other words, Jim, you expect if you find that person, that he'll confess and clear you.
Well, yes.
Jim, that doesn't make sense. Wells was murdered because he carried a small fortune in gold, and you say the man who killed him will give up that gold and confess just to clear you. He'd have to be a mighty close friend of yours to do a thing like that.
Oh, Wells wasn't killed for his gold at all, Sergeant. That's just it. You see, Wells was a murderer himself. That killing was for revenge.
You're wrong, Jim. I've known Wells for many years. He never wronged anyone. Who told you he was a murderer?
I can't tell you that now.
Never mind. Keep your secret, Jim. I have my own idea about it anyway. I'm going to take you to my cabin and leave you there for a while with King. Then I think I can get proof that you didn't kill Joe Wells.
After hearing what Jim Belden had to say, Preston took him to a cabin where the sergeant and King stayed when in Dawson City. Leaving King with Jim, Sergeant Preston went back to the cafe for another talk with Mamie Grant. Luckily, he found Mamie sitting alone at one of the tables.
I thought you'd be interested to know that I found Jim Belden.
You mean Jim didn't leave Dawson?
No. In fact, I didn't have to search for him. He came to me. The story's rather a strange one.
He's a fool. He thinks anyone would believe that story. He's crazy.
What story?
Why, the one he told you. That is, trying to put the blame on someone else.
When I talked to you before, Miss Grant, you pretended not to know what had happened. Why did you let me think you didn't know about Wells' murder?
I was stalling for time. That's all to help Jim. But since he went to you and told you that
Jim
story...
Jim told me practically nothing, except that he's not guilty. He's very foolishly covering up for someone, and I thought perhaps you might know who it is.
How should I know? After all, Jim and I were going together, but now, well, personally, I think I've been mistaken about him.
Oh? In what way?
Well, he's accused of murder, and I'm inclined to believe he did it. He wanted money quickly, hoping I might marry him then. My advice is to disregard whatever he tells you and go with the facts you have against him.
I'll think over what you advise, Miss Grant. I left Jim waiting at my cabin. He has something with him that will definitely prove who the killer is.
You mean Jim Belden found something in Wells' hotel room that was left by But the one he says got there first and killed Wells?
I've said too much already, so you can believe what you like. Do at headquarters for a meeting with the inspector. I'll see you again sometime, Miss Grant. Good night.
After Sergeant Preston left the cafe, Mamie sent a message to her brother by the barkeep. Then she went up to her room. A short time later, Ken came in.
What's up, Mamie?
That Mountie, Ken. He was here again to talk to me.
Well, what about it?
He found Jim Belden.
That was quick work on the part of the Mountie. Belden in jail?
That's just it. He isn't in jail. That Sergeant Preston isn't convinced that Jim killed Wells.
Jim must have told the Mountie the story we cooked up when we...
Oh, no, no. That fool Belden is still keeping his mouth shut for my sake. He thinks you'll go and clear him.
Well, that's sure a hot one.
I know. The main reason I sent for you, Ken, because of something that Mountie said without meaning to.
Yeah? What?
He said Jim was waiting at his cabin, and that he had something that would definitely prove who the real killer is.
But what could Belden have? I'm sure he couldn't have found anything of mine in that room.
And that's something you can't be too sure about, Ken. The only thing to do is to try to find out what it is the Mountie was talking about.
How can I do that?
Well, listen, Sergeant Preston has a meeting on at headquarters. He just left here to go there. Meantime, Jim Belden is waiting at Preston's cabin out on the edge of town. This is your chance to go out and see him, Ken.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is.
Tell him you're going to help him, and that we want to talk to him.
You mean you want me to bring him back here?
Oh, don't be a fool. Once you get him to leave that cabin of Preston's, I don't care what you do.
Yeah. You can leave it to me. We won't have anything to worry about after tonight.
In Sergeant Preston's cabin, Jim Belden sat waiting for the sergeant to return. King lay in his favorite spot near the fireplace. Suddenly, Ken was startled by a knock at the door.
All right.
Hello, Jim.
Ken.
I found out you were here and came right over.
I'm sure glad you're here. Come in a minute. Quiet, King. Quiet, boy. This is a friend. How did you know I was waiting here?
That Mountie Preston told Mamie.
Oh, I see.
Now, look, get your things on and come over to the cafe to talk to Mamie and me. We'll get things straightened out tonight.
But I promised to wait here for the Mountie.
Oh, he's over at the cafe now. We'll tell him the whole story.
Well, all right. I'm sorry you didn't tell him about Joe Wells before, Ken. You shouldn't have taken the law into your own hands like that.
He deserved what he got. Let's get going.
All right, I'll get my parka. I was afraid Mamie had changed toward me. She acted strange when I talked to her.
Oh, Mamie was worried about both of us. She didn't know just what to do.
Yeah, the poor girl. I guess she was under a strain at that.
She sure was.
Well, you have to stay here, King, and wait for Sergeant Preston. Lie down, fella.
Hurry up, Jim.
All right, I'm ready. Stay there, King.
We'll take the shortcut along the ravine, Jim. The sooner we get there, the better.
All right, let's go.
The two men walked along the narrow trail that bordered a deep ravine on the edge of town.
Gosh, I feel better already. You know, Ken, I'm glad you came for me like you did. I was sure you would. That's why I didn't tell about you following Wells to Whitehorse.
Oh, then Preston has no idea about it.
Nope. I did tell him I didn't kill Wells, but I wouldn't tell him anything else for Mamie's sake.
Jim, what was it you found in that hotel room? Something I dropped?
What do you mean?
Stop stalling. Preston told Mamie you had something at the cabin with you that would prove killed Wells.
But that's not so. I don't know what he could have meant by that. Let's get moving.
No, wait.
Hey. Oh, hey, what's that for, Ken? Why do you pull a gun on me?
You trusting fool. Mamie doesn't care a rap about you. You came in handy, that's all.
I can't believe that until we talk to her.
You're not going to talk to her. Now or any other time.
But I thought
you thought I was fool enough to clear you at my own expense, eh? Preston was right, Jim. Joe Wells never killed anybody.
Then you did follow and kill him for his gold.
Now you're waking up.
Well, you won't have a chance of getting away with it. Sergeant Preston will be
and everyone else will think you got cold feet and cleared out when they can't find you.
What do you mean?
I mean I'm putting a bullet in you and tossing you in the ravine.
What?
When the thaw comes, the water down there will carry your body away for good.
No, you can't do that. I haven't told about
and
you.
And you won't get the chance. This is it, Belden.
As Sergeant Preston shouted, Ken Grant turned momentarily. His hesitation was just long enough for King to spring forward like a streak of lightning.
Oh!
With a throaty growl, King grabbed Gamp's gun arm before he could pull the trigger.
Oh, take him off! My arm! Take him off!
Sergeant Preston, you and King got here just in time. Ken was going to kill me.
I know, Jim. He was waiting near the cabin when he went there.
Mamie said you were going to a meeting.
That's what she thought. I told her Jim had something at the cabin that would prove you killed Joe Wells. I was talking about King.
You can't prove that. I don't know anything about Joe Wells' murder.
I'll get the truth before long. Right now, I'm taking you in for the attempted murder of Jim Belden. After we leave you at headquarters, Jim and I have a call to make at the cafe. All right, let's get going.
Later that evening, Mamie Grant was waiting in her room for Ken to return. Finally, she heard steps in the hallway outside and looked up expectantly as the door opened.
Hello, Mamie.
You? Didn't Ken go to that cabin?
Yes, he went there, Miss Grant. Come in, King.
Marty in the dark.
You seem surprised to see us.
Why did you come here with Jim Belden? Where's my brother?
You mean you aren't glad to see me, honey?
Oh, don't honey, you fool. I want to know where
there
you...
There are a few things we want to know, too, Miss Grant. Your version of the Joe Wells affair, for one.
I don't know anything about him. Jim Belden killed him, and that's all I do know.
That's a lie, and you know it.
Of course she knows it's a lie. Miss Grant, your brother Ken is at headquarters right now.
At headquarters? Then you've arrested him?
That's right. And I'm taking you there, too, for playing a part in the murder and robbery of Joe Wells.
You can't prove any such thing. It's just Jim Belden's word against mine.
No, you're wrong. You'll have two against you. Jim Belden and your brother.
You mean Ken talked? He's a fool. I should have known he'd mess things up. Oh, but listen. He planned everything. Getting Jim into it was Ken's own idea. He killed Wells alone. I was still here in Dawson singing every night.
You were an accessory before the fact, and you also planned with Ken to do away with Belden. I'm taking you to headquarters right now.
Oh, no, you're not.
As Mamie drew a gun from the table drawer, King sprang instantly, knocking her to the floor and knocking the gun from her hand.
Get him away.
Get up, Miss Grant. You're not hurt.
Oh, Jim, don't let him take me to prison. It was all Ken's fault. Oh, please, Jim, for my sake, do something.
For your sake, I made a fool of myself, Mamie. I'm through being the fool now, though. You helped Ken plan Wells' murder, and you even helped him plan mine. Well, thank heaven Sergeant Preston will see to it you don't make a fool out of any other man.
Oh, Jim, how can you talk to me that way?
Even King recognizes crocodile tears when he sees them.
King is a wonderful dog. He saved my life, Sergeant.
I hate that dog as much as I hate you, Jim Belden.
You'll have a long time to think about King and Jim Belden in prison, Miss Grant. But I'm sure both of them will soon forget you. Yes, King, the case is closed.
In just a moment, Sergeant Preston will give you a preview of Monday's program. Ask Mother, she knows. Yes, Mother knows that quality comes first in a food. That's why Quaker Puff wheat and Quaker Puff rice are made from only the premium grains of wheat or rice. What's more, Mother likes the fact that wheat or rice shot from guns makes an easy-to-fix, thrifty, deluxe family breakfast with milk or cream and fruit. For added health benefits, natural great amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron are restored in Quaker Puff wheat and Quaker Puff rice. Buy both delicious kinds tomorrow. These radio dramas, a feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, are created and produced by George W. Trendle, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. They are brought to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the same time by Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice, a breakfast cereal shot from guns. Listen Monday, when Sergeant Preston and Yukon King meet the challenge of the Yukon in the adventure, King Proves His Worth.
Nora Craig didn't like King. She was afraid of all dogs when she came to the Yukon to visit her father. And her little boy was lost in the wilderness, and Nora learned of terrors greater than she'd ever imagined. And she learned that it took a dog like King to fight those terrors. It was a mighty exciting and dangerous trail when King and I went in search of the lost boy.
Be sure to hear this exciting story Monday. For delicious hot breakfast, eat Quaker Oats.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats. Yes, the giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Delicious, nutritious, makes you feel ambitious.
The giant of the cereals is Quaker Oats.
Say, boys and girls, do you want to be a star someday in sports and activities? Then start on good Quaker Oats breakfast tomorrow. Because nourishing oatmeal gives you more growth and endurance than any other whole grain cereal. Still less than one penny a serving. Quaker and Mother's Oats are the same. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed this episode of OTRWesterns.com. Send me an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/OTRWesterns. And don't forget to rate this episode in iTunes, OTRWesterns.com/iTunes. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to OTRWesterns.com/copyright. Again, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a good day.